Southwest Prime, bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. Follow us on Twitter at iGuestInfo. Send us your questions and we'll try to answer. Now enjoy the show.
Well, it's just a great day all around right here in Seattle. It's sunny. We've been looking for the sun for a long time, and the sun came out, and we're going to play some great music and talk to some great people today. So thank you for joining us. On the line with me today is a fantastic lady. She's an author, she's an actress, and of course she has musical genes, and it's Georgette Jones. And you probably know her parents. She was born into music, country music royalty, George Jones and Tammy Wynette, and we're just thrilled to have her on. Been a fan of hers for a long time. Thanks, Georgette, for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, and I'm really jealous to hear you have sunshine. We've had snow on and off for the last few days.
We had snow. In fact, Saturday we had all four seasons in one day. We had spring, winter, summer, fall, all kind of in one day. So I'm happy that there's actually sunshine for a change, because I'm not a winter girl. I'm more of a summer girl.
Same here. I grew up in Florida, so I'm missing the sunshine right about now.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So you obviously have kind of been famous your whole life. You were born famous. I remember, I'm not that much older than you, but I remember when you were born. My parents are from East Tennessee, and we just always figured country music people were just kind of like our extended family. My parents talked about country music people in the first person when I was growing up. So I remember when you were born. It was like a relative was born, and everybody was very, very happy. So how does that kind of, that's your normal, right?
It is. I guess for me, a lot of people will ask me, you know, what was it like growing up in my family? And for me, I don't really have a reference for that, because they were just mom and dad to me. And what may seem extraordinary to others, as I've gotten older, I realize how extraordinary it was that I did get to meet so many people and go to some amazing places like the Opry and the Ryman and things like that. But for my parents, that was their office. So it seemed very normal to me when I was growing up.
Right, I would imagine. So did you grow up in the Nashville area?
Well, I was born in Florida, but we moved when I was only 2 years old to Tennessee, and I lived in Tennessee until I graduated high school. Back in Florida, I moved there just a couple years before I graduated, so back and forth between Florida and Tennessee mostly. And then after high school, I actually lived in Alabama for about 17 years and back in Tennessee for the last four. So I kind of call Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee all home, because they all feel like home.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Tennesseans in Florida, too. You know, whenever I go to Florida, I always run into people from Tennessee.
Usually about this time of year. Exactly.
What was it like in high school? Were you with other children of country music people in school, or were you kind of the standout?
Well, when I started school in elementary and into junior high school, actually living in Tennessee, I was around a lot of other people. For instance, I went to school with Ronnie Millsap's son, Todd, and people from Ralph Emery's family and a bunch of other people. So it didn't seem like really that we were very odd or different. And like you said before, really Nashville, especially because it being a music city, everybody just kind of looked at each other as if they were kind of part of each other's extended family, and it wasn't such a big deal. When I moved back to Florida for the last couple of years of high school, it was a little bit different. And I think, I changed schools a lot and changed jobs a couple of times when I first got started out of high school. And I never mentioned anything, of course, about my family, just because it's not something that you normally start a conversation with. Hi, guess who my parents are? I mean, it was kind of silly. You know, people always say, well, why didn't you tell me? But it eventually, about 3 or 4 months down the line, someone would figure it out or find out. And then, of course, people would start talking and asking questions, because I was kind of an oddball then.
Mm-hmm. But you started singing with your parents at a very young age. Was it 3 years old that they started kind of bringing you into the family business, so to speak?
I did. I sang on stage with my mom an awful lot when I was growing up, starting at three, and it seemed very natural being on stage and backstage and watching them in the studio was always very much a lot of fun for me. And music has certainly been very important to me my whole life. I strayed away from it for a little while. When I went to college, I was kind of concerned about I don't know, I guess for me, growing up with the parents that I had, I was very worried about if I pursued music as a full-time passion, how I would be compared, because, you know, it's just, you know, very, I don't know, for me, I don't know even what the right word is, but them two being so popular and famous in country music, I was worried about being able to live in that shadow. So also having grown up that way, I didn't really want to be on the road all the time. I wanted to be able to have a family and raise my children and have what I would consider, I guess, a somewhat normal life. So I actually was a nurse for 17 years. I didn't start pursuing music full time until about 4 years ago. And at that point, I guess when you get older, you realize, you know what, one day when I'm 80, I don't want to be sitting in my rocking chair and thinking, I wonder what would have ever happened had I done, you know, done that, had I followed my dream. So I guess I got old enough to not worry about the comparisons and what other people thought. And hopefully someone out there likes my music. And if they don't, I'm certainly having a great time doing whatever I can in music for now. But I'm keeping that nursing license just in case.
Well, I certainly enjoy your music. I think it's kind of classic country. Is that the way that you would describe it?
I would say so. I mean, I definitely love traditional country music. It's certainly my passion. I like lots of different kinds of music when I listen on the radio. I do like a lot of the modern country as well. Some of my writing style might be a little bit more on the bluesy country kind of side, but I do love traditional country, and I would have to say that's probably the majority of my music is very traditional.
Mm-hmm. That's what I grew up on, you know, back in the 70s and even early 80s. You know, it was Charlie Pride and George Jones and Tammy Wynette and Donna Fargo and, you know, Ronnie Millsap, like you were saying earlier. And you just kind of had your string of Tom T. Hall, you know, and that's just who we listened to, you know, all Dolly Parton all the time. In fact,
exactly.
My parents always made it seem like we were kind of related to these people, because, like I said, they always talk about people in the first person, and they were, you know, they would just give us the news, like, you know, oh, so-and-so just had a baby, or so-and-so just got married, or so, you know, and we'd be, I just thought everybody was related. We were all just big family. And that's in Tennessee. You kind of think like that anyway, because basically, well, we almost are all related in Tennessee.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Well, for me, I mean, those people that you named, certainly I kind of relate it to the comfort food of music. I mean, those are the kind of things that, especially when I'm really just wanting to listen to music, or if I'm in a certain mood and I'm craving something that's heartfelt, those are the people that I want to listen to. I grew up listening to an awful lot of Loretta Lynn. She's one of my heroes. Patsy Cline, Merle Haggard. I mean, just those people to me they symbolize country music completely. I mean, that's exactly what country music is and will always be in my heart.
Was there a lot of music in your home when you were growing up? Even though your parents both were musicians, did they, you know, because a lot of times people, when they kind of, quote unquote, leave the office, they leave it behind. But was there a lot of music in your home?
Most definitely. Mom was very, very passionate about music. I did grow up mostly with my mom, so that's my big reference to that. But we played music almost all the time, and we had a piano in the house. Mom could play piano, guitar. She played several other instruments. And so on her off time, a lot of times we would sit around the piano and sing together, especially at holidays and family get-togethers. But Mom would be very excited and happy when she would get new songs in, or she wrote a new song. And so we were a lot of the time listening to new music with her. And that's, I think, one reason why I have the passion for music that I do, is because, you know, most people, when they listen to a song on the radio, they might just kind of listen half with their ear and, you know, half not really completely paying attention. But she would get so excited about something, especially if it was something new that she was going to record or something she just wrote, and she'd crank up the music, and she'd be like, what do you think about that, and what do you think about this? And so we really listened completely, I think, you know, with our emotions, and that's one reason why I love country music, is because it's about real people and real stories, and I think that's why a lot of country fans relate to it, is because they feel like this is something they've been through or something that they can understand. So we definitely grew up with a lot of music around the house, and I appreciate so much that Mom was very diverse in what we listened to. So we were kind of open to all different kinds of music. But like I said before, country traditional music is certainly where my heart is.
Well, you were kind of having on-the-job training with your mom. She kind of took you under your, you know, she was really, you know, showing you or giving you an education. And you probably didn't even realize it. But now looking back, you know, what a great benefit and a gift that was for you.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, if it hadn't been for my mom and the way she was and the way we listened to music and the way she felt about music, I don't know that I would at all be doing what I'm doing today or would feel the way I do about music. And to me, music is so much a part of my life, not just writing and singing and performing, but it reminds me of everything. Like you hear a song on the radio and it immediately takes me back to a memory, whether it be a family memory or something I happened in high school or whatever. And I just love music for that reason. It brings back so much emotion. And so I just certainly have a huge passion for music.
We're all, I really feel like we're all connected through music. You know, there's just something about music that just brings peace to the soul, and it can just make strangers friends and, you know, just it just brings
definitely
happiness. You know?
It does, and I think, you know, like we said before, people relate to things, so that kind of opens up communication when somebody feels a certain way. I have strangers email me and message me a lot that they listen to a song of my mom's or something of mine, and they it's something that meant a lot to them, and I love to read those kind of stories. It means a lot to me. Music touches them in that way.
Well, your mother really had a really good reputation of just being a kindness around her. I never heard a bad thing about her. Everybody looked upon her in a very caring and loving way. She had a good reputation of being just a good person. That was always what I noticed around her. It was a shock when she passed, obviously. Now, you have a tribute album coming out to her on the 1st. You also have a gospel album coming out. Well, let's talk about the tribute album to your mom, Tammy Wynette. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about your mom and some of your memories and how you would like us to think of her and remember her.
Sure, absolutely. You know, it's been something that I've wanted to do for a very long time. This April, Mom will have been gone. She passed away 15 years ago on April the 6th, and it seems very strange to me that it's been that long ago. But I've wanted to do something in honor of her. I want people to always remember her, her memory, her music, what her life was, and what it stood for. So we finally have this tribute CD, and some of the songs will be instantly recognizable. There are some of her bigger hits, but then there's a couple of songs on there that she wrote or that people may not have actually heard before, but they're some of my favorites. So I hope it's a good mixture of those things. But we're doing a tribute CD and we're doing tribute shows for my mom, and I'm hoping to do that as much as I can because I always want people to remember her. But as far as what Mom was like, I would love for people to know her the way that we did, because a lot of the things that you see in the news media, you know, portray her as very frail and having been very sick and all these negative things. And Mom just was not at all that kind of person. She was very strong, very independent, and a very loving and caring person, had a fabulous sense of humor. And one thing that I remember so much about Mom is that she absolutely had no fear of anything. Like, she was the biggest kid on the block. She loved to go ride all the scary rides at the fair or at the theme park, and she was the first person to want to go to the haunted house and loved to play games and different things. She was truly a kid at heart, and anytime she was home from the road, she couldn't wait to take us girls and do as much as she could with us to make up for time that she had lost with us. But always so much fun and just a wonderful, loving person, and a great cook, fantastic cook.
Oh, well, you know, when you're in the South, they have great cooks in the South. That's why I had to move away. I weigh 500 pounds probably. But between sweet tea and good cooks.
Biscuits and gravy.
That's right. Yeah, those were staples in my household, you know. And my parents eventually moved to San Diego, and we would make the trek back and forth to East Tennessee, you know, every summer to visit our relatives and stuff. And so I had the Southern family in San Diego that we're always cooking and the way they always come to me and they say, where's your mom from? And I'm like, where's my mom from? It wouldn't even like dawn on me, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot, you know, the things I thought were normal. Everybody else, you know, kind of thought were, you know, abnormal, I guess at the time.
Exactly.
But
My husband's from England, and we've been together for 4 years, and it was really funny because it took me 2 years to convince him to try biscuits with sausage gravy on it, because he's like, why would you put gravy on cake? I'm like, well, it's not cake. For them, like, biscuits are totally different, and I had to try to explain. No, it's just bread, and it's really good, but he loves them now, loves to eat them, but it took a while. It is a difference, and different, not just England, obviously, but all over the United States. Everybody eats something different, but Southern cooking is just comfort stuff. It's good stuff.
You know, it's best in the world, you know. It's just you either have to run a lot or exercise or so. I don't know. I don't remember my family ever exercising or anything, and I don't remember them being heavy, but I don't know. You know, I just can't eat that way anymore.
Yeah, I think we were just very much more active back then. Like, I don't think I ever hardly was in the house. I'd go to school, we'd come home, I'd do my homework, but then I played outside until time to come in for dinner. And, you know, nowadays I think we watch a lot of TV and play Xbox and get on Twitter and Facebook, and I don't think we get up and move around quite as much.
I'm addicted to Twitter. Oh, my gosh. In fact, I've been trying to cut myself back on that lately because I had so many tweets that I was talking to someone, and they're like, oh, let me see how many tweets you had. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I looked, and it was like I had like a K behind it for thousands. I'm like, whoa. And they were like, oh, my gosh, you beat me. And I'm like, obviously I had too much time on my hands. Well, tell us about the gospel album, because I also love gospel music, and you have a gospel album that's coming out as well.
Yes, I'm really excited because it's my very first gospel CD. You know, my mom certainly raised us in church around a lot of gospel music. It's where she got her start in music, was gospel music. So, you know, I've always had a heart for that, never really attempted to sing gospel music because it's definitely different. It's harder to sing for me than country music. So it took me a while to kind of narrow down what I wanted to do with it, and I decided to kind of get started on a smaller scale. It's just a six-pack. It's not a full 12-song CD, but we're starting with that, and I'm hoping maybe in the next year I'll be able to do a full CD. But I'm very, very excited to finally have this first project out.
And people can go to georgettejonesmusic.com, and they can follow up with you. You have your music on there. You have tour dates coming on, information about your book that you had written, The Three of Us Growing Up with Tammy and George. And one of your albums, Slightly Used Woman, has a lot of great songs on it. And, again, they can find that at georgettejonesmusic.com. In fact, I'm going to play one of those songs on there, and then we're going to come right back. I wanted to play, I don't even have it queued up because I was just enjoying my time talking to you that I didn't even put it in the queue, but I will do that. And it's going to be The Race is On. And so I love that song, and I was glad to see it on one of your albums. So we're going to play that real quick and take a quick break, and then we'll come right back with Georgette Jones.
Thanks.
I feel tears welling up, falling deep inside, like my heart's from a big break. And the stab of loneliness, sharp and painful, I may never shake. You might say that I was taking it hard since you wrote me off with a call. But don't you wager that I'll hide my sorrow when I might break right down and fall. And now the race is on, and here comes pride up the backstretch. Heartache, but going to the inside. Holding back, trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love cries for another's sake. The race is on, and it looks like heartache. And the winner loses all. One day I ventured in love, never once suspected what the final results would be. And how I lived in fear, waking up each morning, finding that you're gone from me. There's aching and pain in my heart for the day, that's the one that I hated to face. Somebody new came up to win him, and I came out in second place. And now the race is on, and here comes pride at the backstretch.
Jones, The Race is On. That's a great song, classic country. I just love that song, and her interpretation of that was, you know, right on, just fantastic. She also acts. I want to ask her about her acting career because there's some things going on in Nashville right now. The hit show Nashville is being shot down there. A lot of it's done at, we've had the Two Old Hippies from the Two Old Hippie store on, and a lot of the scenes are being shot there. And I think Georgette Jones would be a perfect addition to Nashville. What do you think about that, Georgette?
Well, I tell you what, I would love that because I'm addicted to the show. I absolutely can't miss it. We have it on our DVR so that in case we're traveling or doing something, I won't miss it. It's a great show, and I actually have some friends that work on some of the production stuff, so it's great to see what they're doing and how they're pulling it all together. But I did do some acting a few years back for a great friend of mine named Del Shores. He had a TV series called Sordid Lives, which was the prequel to what the movie was. There's actually a movie out called Sordid Lives that he wrote and directed. He was able to give my mom the screenplay before he did it just to kind of run it by her and see what she thought because he was such a big fan of Mom's, and Mom thought it was hysterical and really liked the idea of it. So it was an easy decision for me when he approached me years ago. He said, you know, would you be interested in playing actually like the guardian angel to one of the characters, pretending to be my mom actually as a guardian angel. And I got to redo some of Mom's music for the soundtrack as well. So it was so much fun for me because I'd never really done any acting before that. And I got to work with incredible and talented people like Olivia Newton-John, Rue McClanahan, you know, Leslie Jordan, and Bonnie Bedelia, so many other people that it was just really almost crazy for me. I'd never been in the acting arena before, so it was really wonderful for me to get to watch how they put things together and how they do things, and they were all such wonderful people. It was a great experience.
Well, from what I understand, everybody on that Nashville set is really great to work with as well, and I think you would be a perfect addition. At least, you know, have you on a couple times, but I don't know. I'm going to have to put my two cents in on that.
Well,
I think you'd
sure
be great on that.
Actually, they've played some of Mom's music and made a couple of references, actually, so I was really proud that they did that, and who knows, maybe that'll happen. Like I said, I've got a couple of friends that work in production there. It's been mentioned in passing once, so who knows, I would absolutely love to do it. I think it'd be an awful lot of fun. It'd be great to get to do some more acting because I haven't done it in a while, so it would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Definitely. People can follow you on Twitter and kind of keep up with what's going on, not only at your website, GeorgetteJonesMusic.com, but you're also on Twitter, which is Georgette_Jones. So all of you Twitter fanatics like me out there, you can get on and follow her. And if you don't have a pen, if you're traveling or you're in the car or whatever, you can just go to GeorgetteMusic.com. It links to all of those sites. So one of the albums I've been listening to is called Slightly Used Woman. Can you kind of tell me the background on that and how that whole album came to be?
Well, actually, like I said, I'd been a nurse for 17 years and I'd only been doing music a little bit on the side here and there just for fun. And I had an opportunity to go to Ireland for 2 weeks to travel over there and sing and perform at different festivals, and took my kids. And it was actually such an amazing trip for me because 4 years ago when I went there, I had just quit the nursing job that I was working at, was going to start a new job in the next month or so after I got home. And instead, while I was there, I met a man there named Tracy Pitcox, who is the record label head of Heart of Texas Records, which is an independent label out of Brady, Texas. And he was there with Leona Williams and several other people. And he's like, why don't you have any CDs here to sell? And I said, well, I don't have any CDs. I just kind of sing every now and then. I don't really do it full time. And he said, well, if you change your mind and you want to do it full time, I'd love to make a CD with you. So I was very, very lucky that I met him. And as soon as I made my first record, I was able to start doing music full time, which has been such a wonderful joy for me. But he let me pick the songs, which is also very incredible. If you know anything about music and working with a big label, a lot of times you don't really have the choices to make for your music. A lot of other people will make those decisions. But the title track, A Slightly Used Woman, is actually a song that my mom wrote back in the early 1980s. And it's a song that describes the house that I grew up in on Franklin Road there in Nashville. And it's about a woman who has all these beautiful, pretty things surrounding her, but inside that house, she really feels lonely and incomplete. And at some time in my life, I certainly related to that song for a while, and I don't anymore. Luckily, on that same trip, I met my husband. So we were able to record that as a title track. It meant so much to me because most people had never heard it. It was never released as a single for my mom, and it's just, I think, a beautiful song, and I was very happy that I got a chance to do that for her.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about George and Tammy for just a minute. So George Jones is your dad. Were your parents friendly up until your mom's passing?
Well, they divorced when I was four, and just I'm sure as any other divorced couple does. I mean, they went through a period of time where they still worked together some professionally, but I think it was very difficult for both of them for a little while. My mom certainly still loved my dad, and I believe my dad still loved my mom. It just was unfortunately not a good time for them. They had a lot of, you know, problems, and my dad has admitted many times since then because of his drinking and different things. It just wasn't meant to be at the time, but eventually they did mend their relationship, and they were able to become friends again and actually did some more touring and things together. My mom was remarried. My dad's remarried. So I think it made it easier for them to be on a friendly level then. And they actually got along really well and were good friends before my mom passed away, which meant a lot to my mom.
Yeah, and to you too, I would imagine, because you're kind of stuck in the middle between them.
Absolutely. I mean, and I have to say, definitely, one thing that I'm very grateful for, my mom didn't do what an awful lot of other people do. I keep referencing my mom as well, only because I never really grew up around my dad. I was a teenager and in my 20s before I really started getting to spend any time with him. But my mom never did that thing where, you know, oh, your dad's this and your dad did that. She never, never trash-talked my dad to me. My dad's never trashed my mom to me. And as an adult parent now of two children myself, I realize how important that is, that, you know, you shouldn't, you know, never do that to your kids. It's not their fault, and they need to know that both their parents love them, and that's all they need to know. The problems that you had don't need to be public in that way. And so it meant so much to me that mom always told me how much my dad loved me and encouraged me. And so when they did finally become friends again and I got to see them together, you know, I was in my 20s before I actually saw them perform together a whole show where they did a concert. And that was amazing for me to get to see that, because it was something I never got to see when they divorced when I was so young. So definitely it came full circle and really meant a lot to me.
You know, I didn't even think about that. That would have been an amazing experience to see both of your parents performing together on stage and kind of, you know, putting everything in the past and just living their talent, and you getting to witness that. That was really special, I can imagine.
Absolutely, it was. We took lots of pictures that night. People, you know, forget that, I mean, I was only four when they divorced, so they just kind of took for granted that I'd seen them perform together. And really the only time I'd seen them perform together would be like for one or two songs for an event or for something on TV, but never really full concerts. It was really great to get to see them do a full concert each and then do all their stuff together. It was really, really neat.
Now, your dad still performs to this day. Now, he's cutting back, and from what I understand, he's kind of going to retire. Is that what's going on?
It is. This is going to be his final year touring. He's got several big shows planned for this year, and he's going to have a really special tribute show in Nashville in November, and then he's going to be finished in December. I think he has just a couple of shows after that show in November that will be in December this year, and he's retiring. So it's going to be a very emotional year for him, I believe. It's, you know, he certainly loves to sing and to perform, and it's been his lifetime passion. And he's 81 years old. He'll be 82 in September. So I think for him, he's ready to try to slow down and be at home and look after his health and spend time with his family and friends.
Well, 81, I mean, that's great. I mean, you should be able to retire when you're 81. Oh, my gosh. If I'm not retired when I'm 81, I want somebody to grab me and throw me in the house and make me retire at 81, because, you know, that's when you can just maybe de-stress and, yeah, like you said, just live your life and take care of your house and your animals and, you know, visit your family and that type of thing.
I think for him, the reason why I'm sorry. The reason why I think that he's done it for so long is because, like I said, just as it was with mom, music meant so much to him. I mean, he would do the typical thing. I mean, everyone has those moments where you're out on the road and you start to get tired, you're ready to get home, but then, you know, 2 days at home, he's looking at his watch. When are we leaving again? You know, because it's in mm-hmm. your blood. It's one of those things that you just love to do. So, but I'm very proud of him and thankful that he's going to be able to retire this year.
Now, you have several brothers and sisters. Your dad had children from his previous marriages. Your mom had children from her previous marriages. And then you're their only child together, though. But you're pretty close with all your brothers and sisters, aren't you?
Absolutely, yes. You know, my dad had two sons and a daughter before he married my mom, and mom had three daughters before she married my dad and had me, but we're all very close. My brothers, in fact, live in Texas, and I didn't really have a close relationship with them for a long time, but I'm so happy to say that in the last probably 3 years or so, we've been visiting each other a lot, talking regularly all the time. I've really gotten to know them and their families, and it's been such a blessing to me. I'd have to say probably the biggest blessing in the last several years was meeting my husband and getting to know my brothers. Those are just two of the best things that's happened to me in the last few years.
Does anyone else do music, or are you the only child that's kind of gone the musical route?
Well, now I will say my sister Tina has an absolutely beautiful voice, and she can and does sometimes sing with me, but she sang backup for my mom for a few years, and then I think she really got burnt out on the music industry just kind of at that time and kind of just gave up on doing music full-time as a career, but she has a beautiful voice, and now I try every now and then when I can to twist her arm and get her to sing with me because I love to get to sing with her. It's you know, it's one of those family things that just brings back a lot of memories, me and her and mom sitting around the piano. But she's the only one really in the family who did any kind of singing other than me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember reading that your sister was backing up your mom sometimes. That had to be a great experience, too, I would imagine, kind of her on the road with your mom. I mean, unfortunately, you know, when your mom passes, those are the kind of things you miss out on, because I'm sure she would have had you up there with her as well. You guys could have been a whole family act, you know. And
absolutely.
But it's so great that you guys could just kind of carry that tradition on, though.
I was very lucky. I did get to sing backup for a summer in between high school and starting college. Unfortunately, she did have a backup singer that had to have emergency surgery and be gone for a couple of months. But it was so special for me. She knew that I could do the part. She asked if I wanted to step in, and it was the most amazing summer for me because I got to spend wonderful time with her, make many, many memories, and then I also got to sing and do something that I love to do. So that's certainly a summer that I'll never forget. It was an amazing time.
And what about your children? Are they musically inclined?
They really are, and they probably both kill me right now for saying this out loud, but they've been able to harmonize together since they were about 5 or 6 years old. They both have taught themselves how to play a little guitar, a little piano, and played in the band, did some singing, you know, choir in high school, but they're kind of shy as they've gotten a little bit older. They're, I think they're kind of, they've realized at some point in their teenage years, you know, their heritage, where their family came from, and I think they get nervous and shy about singing in front of people, but every now and then I can get them to sing around us for family, and we have a great time doing that, and I'm hoping one of these days I can talk them into getting on stage with me, because I'm certainly very proud of them, and they both can sing and play music, and they do very well at it.
Well, I would imagine, you know, they do have a rich musical heritage, and hopefully, you know, we as public don't put a lot of expectation, kind of how you were feeling, you know, years ago, living up to those icons of George Jones and Tammy Wynette, because you're your own person, and sometimes we forget that with children of celebrities. They have their own gifts to bring to the table, but you have also that inherited gift that comes, you know, with that musical gene.
Well, thank you. I mean, we're definitely very proud of that. But like you said, that's probably been the most difficult thing for me, is trying to be able to find my place in music, you know, what I like to do, what I like to sing, and the things that I write, and being able to separate, you know, not necessarily completely, but I would like to have, you know, my own music where people go, oh, and just think of me singing that song. But it's only natural. I think it's human nature. I mean, I myself have done it. You know, you wonder what Lisa Marie Presley sounds like because of her father being Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
You're intrigued and you want to go listen. But I'm hoping that people will, you know, give me a chance with my own music if they hear it, and then they'll make their own decision from there. But it's definitely a natural thing, I think, for people to be curious and kind of put some expectations on that, even though it does make it a little bit more difficult for people like me trying to find our own way. But I'm very blessed that I get to do music, so hopefully people will enjoy what I do in tribute to my mom, but also my own music.
And you've also recorded with your dad as well. You've been on some albums with him, and so I think that your style does stand apart, especially when you guys are together and you can hear the vocals. You know, we know that that's independent it's really pretty when you know, when you guys have sang together. But you can definitely tell that you kind of have your style.
Thank you. That means a lot. It really does. Thank you.
Well, it's really been a great pleasure to have you on. I really want to encourage people to check out your music, which is GeorgetteJonesMusic.com. You can find out all kinds of stuff. She's just a very, very lovely person. Just very enjoyed having her on today. She's got a lot of talent, a lot of talent. Wrote a book. She's an actress. And on top of it all, of course she sings. Yes, she sings. Of course she does. You couldn't help but not sing. And, you know, we wish George a happy, happy retirement. I think it's going to be a big year for you guys' family all in all, with everything that's going to be going on. There's probably be a lot of attention on everybody this year as this thing plays out towards the end of the year. And I really hope that you have great success with your tribute album to your mom, which I'm definitely going to be listening to. And I'm really excited about the gospel, because gospel is such a huge part of anybody who grew up with country music. Gospel kind of goes hand in hand with that.
They really do. And like I said before, you know, thank you so much for having me on here. It's great to get to talk to you and meet you. And I'm sure we'll be tweeting each other a lot more in the future. But we'll have a lot of fun. We'll keep in touch for sure. And I appreciate everything. Thank you.
Well, definitely. Well, I would like to have you back on in the future, too, and find out how things are going and keep up. If you have any news to share, we'll put it on. Georgette's going to send us some music, and we're going to play that on Seattle Wave Radio so that Seattle can there's a lot of country music fans in Seattle, so on Seattle Wave Radio, we play a lot of different music. We have a country station. We'll put that on there as well. We have gospel. We can put the gospel on there as well. So I'm sure Mark, who does all the programming, he's looking at me, and I'm like, that's right. I got some work for you to do. But he loves it.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I'm hoping to get out that way. We're actually trying to negotiate some West Coast-type things for us right now. We don't have them on the website right now because we're trying to work those out. But I think right now at this point, the closest I'm getting out that way is Iowa. So hopefully I'll get further out west and can come out there. Maybe I can get a chance to meet you in person. So that'd be great.
That'd be great. Well, that's right, because I'm a really fun person. So, you know. I'm a fun person. But yeah, we need to get you out here. And if I can give you any numbers or anything, if you know, if there's any venues out here that you need to know about, just we'll talk, because I would like to get you out here, because we need more country music out this way anyway. So
that'd be great. I'd love that. Let us know.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. I'm going to go out with You and Me in Time. So that was George Jones and Georgette Jones. So I wanted to kind of give everybody a feel on that as well. We'll have more music from Georgette Jones coming up. And Georgette, thank you again. I really appreciate that you coming on and spending this time with us.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Just a picture on my baby grand.
Yours was in my wallet. I showed to all my friends.
And time. kept you in my prayers.
No matter where they took me, hon, you were always there.
It's so hard when your hero is a stranger in your home.
I looked like a mountain, one can't move it alone.
But you and me and time finally got together. I'm sorry that it took so long, but better late than never. The love we thought we'd lost was not there.
And George Jones, we appreciate Georgette coming on and sharing her family memories with us about her mother, Tammy Wynette, and her father, both legends in the industry, George Jones and Tammy Wynette. I'm going to switch gears right now and bring on one of my personal heroes, Michael Wassman. You might have known him from The Voice, but he was also, he'll always be a veteran. We love veterans here on Seattle Wave Radio, and Michael Wassman has a story that kind of goes with his music career, and he was a veteran, served in Operation Desert Storm, and I'm going to have him kind of tell us that story. But he's going to be playing at the Triple Door in Seattle on the 31st. Can't go because it's sold out. You got to be quick around here, people. And but you can definitely go to michaelwassman.com and you can follow along with where he's going to be next and what's coming up for him. So, Michael, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure, definitely. Good to be here.
Well, you know, Seattle loves Michael Wassman. There's just, you know, it's just a natural in Seattle. Everybody loves Michael Wassman. Whenever I'm kind of talking to people about guests, they're like, you got to get Michael Wassman. I'm like, I'm on it. I'm tracking him down.
Well, I'm glad it finally worked out.
Me too.
That's awesome.
You're going to be at the Triple Door?
Yes, on Easter Sunday.
On Easter Sunday, what can people expect?
Yeah, we didn't really, when we booked the show, I didn't realize it was Easter. So I was like, I don't know if this is such a great idea, but I guess it worked out all right. So this Sunday, I'm actually going to be filming it and recording it. So I don't know exactly what I'm going to do with the footage yet, but we might at one point in time release a live DVD of the show. I don't even think the people coming know it yet. So that could be interesting.
That could be interesting. That could be. Now, I mean, you also play at Jazz Alley a couple times a month. Is that right?
No. I've actually only played Jazz Alley once. It was I think a couple of months ago. We did three shows there.
Okay.
And just started playing that venue. Beautiful spot.
Yeah, I had some friends who said, oh, yeah, we caught Michael Washman at Jazz Alley. You should catch him there. So I have a friend, Lee Oscar, plays there the last Friday of every month. I've been meaning to get over to see him.
Oh, yeah.
Play over there. And had him on just a little while ago. And then they connected you, and they're like, oh, well, Michael Washman's also at Jazz Alley. So anyway, it's not a regular thing, though, that you're there, just sometimes.
Yeah, I think we're trying to put another show there, but their schedule is usually pretty booked out as well. So just trying to find, you know, dates when they're available and I am. But we'll get it together sometime this year. I'm sure I'll do another show.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. Well, we'll look out for that. And I want to tell everyone that you don't spell your name, Michael, like the traditional way. It's M-Y-C-L-E. Wasman, W-A-S-T-M-A-N. If you're looking for him, if you're going to Google him or you're looking for his website, you're going to have to spell it M-Y-C-L-E, Wasman.
That's right.
And they can find all of your information on there. Well, The Voice started up last night. You were on The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch?
I didn't watch it yet. It's on my DVR, though, so I'm sure that I'll get around to it. I had dinner plans last night, so we went out with some good friends. But I'll definitely get around to seeing what's going on there on The Voice. I guess, well, you watched it, so I guess how does Usher and Shakira stand up?
Well, they did good. People seemed to still gravitate to Blake and Adam as far as mentors. You had CeeLo as your mentor, right?
I did.
Mm-hmm. And so did Vicky Martinez had CeeLo as well.
That's correct, yeah.
But he's not on there this year, CeeLo's doing
connection.
Other projects. Exactly, the Seattle CeeLo connection.
Yep.
How was CeeLo for you?
He was
great.
Well,
of course you probably liked him. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I gravitated towards him personally just on an artistic level. You know, he's more of an R&B. He's an R&B singer, of course, but he's also a producer-songwriter. I thought he could, you know, maybe teach me a few things as far as putting on a show. He does that pretty well, that's for sure.
He is definitely a showman.
Yeah.
A showman. You're right about that. What made you want to sign up for The Voice?
Well, you know, it seemed to be just an excellent opportunity for, you know, a musician like me, you know, being that I'm older and, you know, the other shows that they really don't, you know, cater to people, I think over 28 or whatever
mm-hmm.
the age limitations are. And The Voice is more of a, like, it gives a lot of people second chances, you know, it's not just, you know, they're except they put people on the show from all over the board, people with record, you know, that already have
right,
contracts that didn't
right.
didn't make it and, you know, didn't really do well. And it's like a second chance to put yourself out there and show America that, you know, there's still some talent left in these bones, you know. Try this
well,
again
and
see what you think.
I think it gives you instant kind of credibility, too, for people who don't know you like we know you here in Seattle. So if you're playing somewhere else and then you kind of attach, oh, well, he was on The Voice, automatically, I think that gives you, you know, a little bit more, like I said, credibility in their mind, and they take you serious. Of course, once they hear you, they'll already figure that out for themselves. But sometimes just getting them to hear you, I mean, that's half the
battle. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, just I can't even tell you how much the exposure is worth just to be put
mm-hmm.
out there on a national stage. You know, a lot of doors open up after that.
Right.
Just say, yeah, I was on The Voice. Well, we can book you here then, you know, over here in Arizona or wherever.
Right.
Pretty cool.
But you'd had national exposure prior to that. So tell us your Christmas story on CNN.
Ha! well, it was, I think, Christmas 91. And, you know, I really didn't think much of it as a big deal, but I was one of the only soldiers that brought a guitar with me to Desert Storm over there. I guess it was Saudi Arabia at the time. And Schwarzkopf was doing a Christmas type of service, you know, with the head chaplain out there. And, you know, I said, hey, I can sing a song for the service if you guys would like. And they thought the idea was great. So basically I sang Silent Night, and CNN was there, and they were taping the whole thing. And then, you know, I got a call from my, I called my family. We used to had a tent set up and all these phones that we could dial back at home at certain times of the week. And I called back and said, yeah, we saw you on CNN singing Silent Night. It was pretty thrilling. I didn't even know I was, you know, going to be on it at all. So that was kind of crazy.
Yeah,
a lot of people probably saw that.
Probably, you know. I know it seems like 91 was so long ago, but it seems like this kind of Desert Storm, and we had Enduring Freedom, and, you know, it's just this kind of thing's been going on, you know, for quite a while. But we
sure
certainly
has.
Appreciate your service and serving in the Army, and then it was just a bonus that for everybody that you got to go over there and perform and then kind of have that behind you as well. Do you get a lot of support from service members, or do most people know that you are a veteran?
You know, the people that do know that I, you know, served there, they're really supportive. I mean, you know, I figure I don't feel like I did really anything special, you know. I mean, I really, you know, appreciate the soldiers that are out there doing their thing right now, but for me, you know, I signed up, and it was one of those things. I was 18, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I ended up over there in Iraq, and, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. It definitely taught me a lot, you know.
Yeah, my husband served in Operation Desert Storm as well. And I remember we were stationed at March Air Force Base, and a lot of the soldiers came back through March Air Force Base. And it was so crazy that these planes would come in onto the flight line, and the freeway along Riverside, I think it was the 15 freeway in Riverside, California, all the cars just stopped, and it looked like a parking lot as far as you could see, and people were just so excited about the troops coming back, and they loaded everyone on the bus, and they took them down the freeway. I think they were going back to Camp Pendleton or something, and I'll never forget that people were just flying flags, and the buses were slowing down, and just on the side of the freeway, you could slap everybody's hand, and all the soldiers were hanging out, you know, of the windows.
That's
everyone
awesome.
Was giving high fives and stuff. It was such a fantastic time, and I was so happy that I could be there and watch that, and that, you know, people could experience that kind of thing. And, you know, ever since, it's kind of drug out since then, but that was a really special time, and we certainly appreciate everybody who volunteers, and we have an all volunteer force, so everybody who's participating is volunteering, so we appreciate everybody who does that.
Well, thank you very much. I heard they, you know, the Army actually increased their age limitation. It used to be 36, and now it's 42. So I guess they're...
Well, I believe
they're
probably running out of people. It's been going on a long time.
it's definitely, you know, and they've been at war, and it's a lot riskier to, you know, join up, because, you know, you're probably going to go over there. Or, well, it used to be anyway.
Right.
I kind of wish that, honestly, I probably would have stayed the full 20, at least in the reserves. I did 4 years after active service, but I didn't want to think I needed to tie myself down because I wanted to pursue some other things. But
I think that
would have been great to stay in. But
well, you're performing a service in another way by letting us all listen to your music. I'm going to play out as we go. I'm All Over It. And can you tell me a little bit about that song?
Yeah, sure. Basically, I wrote the song with Keith Falise. He's a Nashville guy. He's written, I guess, probably a few pretty big hits. Basically, the song is, you know, just about that girl that you think is, you know, just the perfect one for you, and you're going to get her, you know, no matter what, even though she's really not into you at all. So. but it's like I'm all over it. I'm gonna make it happen. It's kind of a yeah, and you know, just talking about how beautiful and awesome that girl is, and you know how you want her to be yours.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on. People can find you at the Triple Door on the 31st, but of course, not everyone's going to get to be able to see you there because that show's sold out. But they can go to your website and they can stay up on current events where you're going to be performing around the country. And of course, we support Michael. We support veterans. And turn out and see Michael. He's a good guy. Very, very highly, highly talented on top of everything else. So you get to support a veteran, you get to support a musician, and you get to support a talented musician veteran all at one shot. It doesn't get any better than that. Thanks, Michael, for coming on.
Definitely.
No problem.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Michael Wassman, and we're going to go out listening to one of his songs, I'm All Over It, and you saw Michael on The Voice. He's performing around the country. He's going to be in Seattle on the 31st. That show is sold out, but he's coming to an area near you, so make sure that you go to his website, michaelwassman.com, and support this great guy doing great things with his music. So thank you for joining us today, and we're going to go out with I'm All Over It by Michael Wassman. Have a good day.
She's like a picture on a postcard, taboo like a porcelain doll, and she is Victoria's Secret. She's so hot, I can't turn her off. My mind is playing her over, and right now she's a fantasy. I'm just the guy who wants to know where, standing in line, waiting for the right time. I'll do whatever it takes. I don't care about playing it fair. Cause when a girl looks like that, a boy like me just don't care. She's got that devil in a blue dress. She's got that innocent smile. She's got that turn me into such a mess. She's so fit, and I'm all over it. She's got that turn me into such a mess. She's so sick, I'm all over.